episode number 176, Detroit Auto Show 2009.
Coming to you almost live from the Motor City, Detroit, Michigan, it's the Camaro C28.com podcast with your host Chris Frezza and Jason Debler. Strap in. It's the Camaro Z28.com podcast on the air.
And welcome back, everyone, to the Camaro Z28.com podcast. I'm Chris.
And I'm Jason.
How's it going?
It's okay.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yesterday was pretty exciting.
Yeah. I was going to say, don't get anywhere near me, though, because my luck is bad.
Oh, yeah.
Got rear-ended on Friday.
Oh, jeez.
I was driving my Trailblazer. Some chick bumped into me. Back to the body shop it goes.
Oh, boy.
But that was Friday. Saturday was very cool.
Yes. The 2009 North American International Auto Show in Detroit. We were there at the butt crack of dawn.
Yep.
Yep. Got to meet up with a bunch of people.
Very cool people.
Yeah. Stood in line. And then our good buddy Paul, One Fast Dog.
Yep.
He came and
escorted us in.
Yeah.
Took us right
to the Chevrolet section.
Car.
Yeah. It was great.
It was, you know, it's, I like the display.
Yeah, it was nice. It was very roomy.
I think them, you know, obviously with everybody's economic conditions, especially the big three, cutting back didn't hurt them.
No.
I think it made the displays easier to view. You know, you didn't have to look around big dorky Art Deco things to see what you wanted to see.
Exactly.
I mean, the Jeep display, they usually have a gigantic rock wall on the waterfall and the Jeep up, hanging upside down and, you know, dudes parachuting in and everything. And it was pretty simple and pretty basic. And you know what? It was what it was meant to be, a car show. There's something to be said for presentation, but this did okay, too.
Right. So we walked right up to the red SSRS with the cyber gray stripes.
Yeah.
And I got to sit in it almost immediately.
Yep.
And checked the headroom, was able to move the seat. It still had power in there, so that was nice. I was able to fool with the seat and play with it. And it had a sunroof open, and the head clearance for me was okay. I'm 6'4", and my head was brushing the roof. luckily, I ordered my car without the sunroof, as there's a little more roof clearance there.
Yeah, I asked Cheryl what the difference would be, and she said she didn't have that data, but I'm sure it'd be a little, but in that case, a little means a lot.
Yeah, but just playing with the seat, you can get it to tilt back a little bit more, and then that was no problem at all.
Well, one of our listeners that I think we ran their email or voicemail, I think it was an email,
yes.
A couple episodes ago, his son was 6'10".
Yeah, they were there.
Guy's a skyscraper, man. But he said he managed to get comfortable in it.
Yeah.
So maybe he's all leg, I don't know.
Yeah.
But hey, when you're 6 foot tall, you can't expect to fit into everything.
Yeah,
six foot ten,
sure.
I say.
That's for sure.
So yeah, right after the you know, we got a good eyeful of the car and the rest of the gang. And thanks everybody who showed up for showing up, and glad you enjoyed the goodie bags and all that. We sat down sort of I guess backstage. With
we were literally inside the Chevrolet display, right behind all the Chevrolet stuff and the local Channel 4, you know, news desk broadcast
thing. There's
like
a little hidden hallway there where there's a couple of tables and some storage, and we sat down and did an interview with Cheryl Pilcher, Camaro product manager, and Paul Byther, a.k.a. One Fast Dog, who's a Chevrolet product specialist.
Yes.
And, well, we took our mini recording studio. And here's the interview.
And here we are backstage at the 2009 Detroit International Auto Show, Cobo Hall in Detroit, Michigan. We were fortunate to have Cheryl Pilcher and Paul Byther here to talk to us about what's going on here at the show, the reaction and everything else. So Cheryl, let's start with that and start with you. So far, this is, you know, it's only been the first couple of hours of the public show, but if you combine that with the charity event and the industry shows, so far, what is your feel for just the reaction to the cars itself? Something that people have seen for the past couple of years, but now for the first time, they're seeing the production version.
You know, it's really interesting. I was here on Wednesday as a part of the media preview days, and one would think, because the Camaro's kind of been out and about, that maybe it wouldn't get the same attention or recognition or people awe-gazing and just, you know, so thrilled what they saw. But when I was here on Wednesday and the rest of the Chevrolet display, and we have a lot of great new products that are here on the Chevrolet display, but you want to know something? The largest crowd was standing around the Camaro, just amazed with it. We had some of our product specialists already talking about the car. I happened to be here, was able to answer a lot of questions. So it makes me feel really good that people haven't tired of the design. They haven't tired of what they're looking at. They're still excited. And now that we can actually allow people to get into the car, to be seated, to see what it all feels like. How does it feel when you're sitting in that driver's seat, the steering wheel, the headroom, you know, do I have the right kind of leg room, everything like that. I think it gives people a real opportunity to do that.
Right. Speaking of headroom, Chris, you were talking to one of our members, the one that called in earlier to the podcast, about headroom. He's 6'10", and he was really concerned. What did he have to say about that?
There wasn't too many problems with him. He got in, no problems. So did his dad, who's, I think, 6'5". He's an inch taller than me. I'm 6'4", and I fit in just awesome. The headroom was a little bit lower because it had a sunroof. But other than that, perfect. Perfect.
Yeah. And what did you think the first time? This is the first time you got in a production version.
Right. I loved it. I was able to set the seat all the way back. Perfect amount of leg room. I slightly put the seat back a little bit so my head wouldn't be touching the sunroof. But other than that, it fit and it felt like a Camaro.
I've said that before. I didn't bother to get in it because I've been in and out enough times. And the more I sit in it, the more I just can't wait to get mine. Moving on to another topic, Cheryl, I'm gonna bring this over to you again. The 30-day delay, what's the proper word to use?
You're right. It's been a 30-day delay. Originally, we were planning on start of production to occur on February 16th, and we've now announced that it will be March 16th. And really, what's going on there had nothing to do with any other business conditions that are going on or anything like that. But what we're doing here is we're really spending a lot of time making sure that the quality is right on these new cars. We want to make sure that the first guy or gal who gets their Camaro, that car is absolutely perfect. So it was really an additional opportunity for a little bit more time for engineering to get their work done, to get all that fine-tuning done, the executional details worked upon so that the car will be absolutely right. So again, the new start of production date is March 16th.
Well, that's great. Well, you know, as we said in our last week's podcast, no biggie. It's only a 30-day, you know, push. It's no big deal. One other thing I wanted to ask you about is we've been seeing spy pictures of the convertible, and we're wondering what's going on with the convertible.
You know, the convertible is always a very popular topic because there are definitely people, when they're buying a Camaro, they want to buy the convertible. There's just no doubt a sunroof car is just not going to cut it. And Bob Lutz, our leader here, one of our big leaders at GM, has just recently announced that the convertible delay, it's looking like 2011 is when that vehicle will come out in production. So I'm not at liberty to discuss any kind of production details. It is definitely our intent, so that for all your listeners, it's definitely our intent to have a convertible model. There's been no cancellation of that model or anything like that, but the timing of it is still being investigated, and according to Bob Lutz, it's looking like 2011.
We noticed that the Camaro Black car from SEMA, which Jason and I went to, is over here in Detroit as well. How is that being received, and can you tell us a little bit about that car?
You know, right from the beginning, when we were scoping the content and how that car would look, we, all of us on the team, fell in love with that car. So we knew that it would be a huge success to our public, to our folks who are so interested in Camaro. Now, the car that's on display here at Cobo Hall for the North American International Auto Show is truly a concept car. But what's really been done that we think is kind of clever, we've taken many of our Chevy accessory parts that are available on Camaro and maybe just done them in a different execution. The Camaro Black that's on display is actually a V6 Camaro, so it's an LT model. And what we've done is we've put our Chevy accessory 21-inch wheels on it. Now, I'll tell you that those wheels look very similar to the accessory wheel, but we've taken any area that was a bright chrome and blacked it out, if you will, a black chrome appearance. So when anybody sees the car, I want them to be aware the style, the actual spoke design and everything is correct on that 21-inch wheel, but the black chrome aspect. In fact, any of the bright chrome exterior pieces or interior pieces, they've actually taken it and made it black. So that's why we do call it Camaro Black. Another interesting item is it has the ground effects package on it. Now it's the Chevy accessory ground effects kit, but when that kit is currently ordered, it's only available currently in a dark argent finish, which is kind of a darker gray kind of a color, in a low gloss finish. That specific look was available at SEMA on the yellow show car that we had there, but this car has taken the opportunity to actually have that body color paint added to it. So it's not available from the factory in that current execution, but it's certainly something somebody could do on their own. So what we do with these concept cars, we're trying to gauge customer reaction, and this is kind of like a no-brainer because people are just all in love with it. Again, the product specialist that's there with the vehicle, he says that's the car that he said he can see people's eyes from across the floor, and right away they're looking and zing, they're right at that Camaro Black. So it's a real striking car. So what we're trying to do is to gauge the public interest to see if that would be a good car to do some kind of a special edition on, or some kind of a package that would be put together that you could give an individual the opportunity to put that look on any car, really, a V6 or a V8 Camaro. It doesn't have to be tied to the 6. Somebody had a V8, if they wanted to do it, we want to give them that opportunity to do that also.
Speaking of the ground effects package, and I don't know if you can answer this or not, and if you can't, we'll just edit this out. They come in a you said the argent low gloss finish. That can be put on the car as you get it. However, a lot of people said, well, it doesn't come painted. It should come painted to match. I have to strip. Do you know if they have to strip the finish off and then paint it, or if it's ready to be painted in a, is it like a gel coat or whatnot? Can you address that at all?
Yeah, John Cox is our accessories manager, and I've heard him describe this to other people because it is a very frequent question that we get. First of all, I want everybody to understand the dark argent has what we call like a 30 gloss level. So it's ready to go. It can be installed on the car. It's a good looking piece. But in the case where somebody does want to match it to their body color, my understanding is one of the benefits of the lower gloss is that it's readily able to be painted. So it's not like you have to completely sand it all down and primer it. I think it's at the point where it's readily able to be painted. Now, you know, I've never done that. I haven't heard exactly that it's been done, so I couldn't swear my life on it. But that's my understanding, that that's one of the reasons for that low gloss appearance, is to make it much easier to be able to be painted in body color.
And I, for one, if I decide to get them, I'm glad they're not painted, because I'd be concerned about them arriving chipped and then have to go through the hassle of sending them back. Or I know that there's slight variations in paint colors depending on the time that the vehicle is painted and then the ground effects are painted. So I'm thinking that it's probably smarter to do it that way. I don't know of any ground effects company that actually offers theirs painted without a hefty fee, and getting them to match is ridiculous.
You know, and I will say, though, that as we look to customer input and things like that, if we find that there's a huge demand for body color and trying to work out any of those details you mentioned that have been concerns in the past, we would look potentially doing some kind of a life cycle update. So those ground effects, maybe you pick the top 3 or 4 popular colors and maybe offer that from the factory. But, you know, that's not the way it is currently, and we're just going to have to monitor the customer demand. At this point, we don't, you know, have that input, but we'll be getting it here shortly.
Reading in the news recently, it seems like you have over 10,000 orders for Camaros so far. Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, that's right, Chris. It's just been amazing. And, you know, when we think that it kind of gets to a point where it's going to level off, it doesn't. It just keeps going and going and going. And you're right, at this point, it is over 10,000 units that we've received. Won't be a surprise to you all over enthusiasts that many of those orders are the SS model. And what's been really a great thing with having those early orders available to us to review, we get to see exactly what kind of content people are looking at. You know, is the RS appearance package a popular item? Are the polished wheels a popular item? That kind of a thing. Because certainly when I sat down in the beginning and forecasted, it helps with my experience around Camaro that I kind of know what people are interested in. But, you know, I put my forecast together, but the one thing I know is I'm never going to be 100% right. So this bank, if you will, of sold orders has really given us an initial blush, and we recognize it's primarily the enthusiasts that are out there putting their orders in. But it gives us this good feel of what the requests are going to be, and it also will help allow us to set up Oshawa as we start producing these cars. If there are any things that we can do to bias towards V8 production or more RS appearance package production, it gives us this bit of an early glimpse, an early opportunity to see what's out there.
Speaking of car ordering, Cheryl, there's been rumors, or at least mild accusations, or insinuations, rather, that the early orders were just a marketing ploy. It's a touchy subject, but can you comment on that?
Oh, Jason, I'd love to. I mean, that's absolutely not true. It was not a marketing ploy. What Chevrolet did was we gave our Chevy dealers the opportunity to take bona fide sold orders from their customers who have expressed an interest in Camaro. So it really, truly is a sold order. Now, the negotiations and the setup and when a particular sold order is built is purely dependent upon the dealer. You know, Chevrolet will indicate to our dealers in any one of our what we call consensus cycles that we're looking for X number of vehicles to be, you know, orders to be supplied, and we're looking for some percentage V8, some percentage V6. And it's up to the dealer then to take, ideally, from his sold order lists, those folks who have actually already gone in and placed their sold order, to primarily pull from that list first. But it is up to the dealer. So if anybody, you know, if they're concerned, they've got questions, I need to send everybody back to their dealer to work through those details. But again, it's not a ploy. Those are bona fide sold orders. We recognize those as bona fide sold orders. So no ploy here. No, you know, no magic or anything like that going on. They really, truly are sold orders.
Well, good. Thanks for clearing that up.
Yeah, in other news, we heard the horsepower numbers may have gone up on some of these cars. Can you comment on that?
Yeah, actually, Chris, it's great. We finally did get our SAE certification on our horsepower numbers for all of our three engines, if you will. I'll start out with the biggest, I don't want to say the best, but the biggest and the most, if you will, is our LS3, our V8 manual. And we did get SAE certification for 426 horsepower. So just fabulous. 420 pound-feet of torque. Now on the L99, our V8 automatic, we have 400 horsepower, so that number's consistent with what all the earlier materials had, but the torque did improve. It's 410 pound-feet of torque. Now on the V6, we did get SAE certification for 304 horsepower and 273 pound-feet of torque. So I'm glad to be able to share all that information. It's an update, and I'll tell you, especially with the LS3, we're really pleased to see that it actually beat the I don't want to almost mention the name, but one of our other competitors was at 425, so aha, at least we got that 426 number. So there you go.
We beat them by one, and that won't be the end of it, I'm sure. That's great, and a lot of people want to know these things. They don't quite understand how the industry works because they don't have to do it. They're just kind of the outside looking in. So these are some questions a lot of people have been wanting to know, and we're glad that you're able to fill us in. Chris, anything else on your end?
No, I don't think so right now.
I think I'm all tapped out. So what I'm going to do is, I'll get back to you in just 1 second, Cheryl. We're going to bring in Paul, product specialist for Chevrolet and Camaro. Paul, say hi to everybody out there and tell them what you do. And I don't know, you're a talkative sort of guy. Your thoughts on the whole world.
Well, I'm one fast dog on the forum, but I've been reading it for quite a while. Friends with Scott, known Cheryl for a while back when she was doing Corvettes. The woman can actually drive, guys, too, so watch out. Don't give her any lip. And she can drive in the twisty things as well. So having fun at the show. I always like doing Detroit because Detroit really is the hinge pin of the auto business. And it's nice to see what other companies are doing. And I really like what we're doing with our display this year. It's a little bit airier looking, a little more space, a little more people friendly. We've got a lot of the newer vehicles that... Well, even on the forum, some people were saying the Orlando wasn't coming here. It was hard for me to bite my tongue and say, yes, it is. But the Cruze is here, great car. The Spark is here. The production intent version of the Volt. Just a lot of stuff that people can see. And, of course, you know, the Camaros are here. And the one on the floor, like we've been pressing for a long time, so they can get in and actually do the touch feel and nice job also, Cheryl, on the placement of the pedals. It's an easy car to heel and toe, so I like that.
So speaking of the car that people can get in and out of that's on the floor, if you can comment on this, Cheryl, what can you say what percentage of this is going to be it, like as far as fitment and feel and everything? Like, I think you know what I'm getting at. I'm not quite sure the words to use. Can you comment on that?
Yeah. Yeah, on the floor and actually even up on the stand, the cars that you see here today are definitely some of our, when I say earlier builds, the earlier production builds. So these cars were probably built back in the October, November timeframe. And so think about it, what has that been, 2-3 months ago now? So Oshawa's gotten that much better at their builds. Now granted, these are show cars and we try to make sure that they really represent what we're going to have in production. So, you know, in some cases, I know they're still working on the graining of parts. You know, that's the... whatever the appearance that you see, the texture, whether it, you know, it's intended on the instrument panel to be more of a leather looking kind of thing. So we continue to work on those details. But the cars here, I'd say, are really fairly representative. That's our intent here at these auto shows.
Well, the more we look at the car, the more we find things that we didn't see before. Paul pointed out the little magnet button that holds the seatbelt onto the front seats as a great idea. I noticed that by pushing on the gas door, it pops out, you know, little has a little detent to it, a little spring-loaded switchblade type of mechanism. A lot more thought went into this car than I think I've really seen in a long, long time. And I think so far it's just getting better and better and better. So everybody, this is the first day of the Detroit Auto Show. It's going to run for 9 days. Am I correct in that, Paul?
9 days. And one of the best comments I heard from one of the forum members that came this morning is he said, there's no learning curve with this Camaro. I get in it and I'm right at home. The shifter feels good. The pedals feel great. The wheel feels great. And I know where all the controls are. So I was impressed by that.
And I've said that from my focus group drives, that it just felt exactly like a Camaro should. Even in the concept, it felt right. So I think that once people actually get a chance to get in the car, and then soon, we're not far away, really, of driving it, that they're gonna agree. Paul, you're going to be here all week, and people can come up and hit you up with questions or anything. You're going to be roaming the floors, correct?
Oh, absolutely. You can ask for me if you come here, but anybody that you speak to should certainly be able to answer your questions. We have a very, very sharp group that does this, and if they can't answer your question, they can find the answer out for you. We're real big on being accurate.
Well, good. And I think we're gonna wrap this up for now, because you probably want to go out and mingle with the crowds again, because I bet you it's pretty big by the car by now. We were fortunate enough to be the first ones in the door. So I guess, Chris, where you want to wrap it up here?
Yeah. I want to thank Cheryl for taking the time to speak with us here, and for Paul for being my personal tour guide for all the GM vehicles this morning, and showing me the Volt and the new Cadillac Converge. It's pretty sweet. So thanks a lot, guys.
Yeah, we thank you very much for taking the time out. And Scott, we know you're listening. And John, we know you're listening, but you're not here. And John, yeah, you're having a terrible time in Arizona, we know. So I guess that's going to do it. Thank you again. And Chris, let's head back to the studio.
Back in the studio.
Yes, we are.
But that was very cool.
Yeah, that was a great interview.
That was a fun interview.
I got to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, we got to apologize for the audio and production quality.
Yeah.
We didn't have a pop filter in place.
We'll get better in the future, though.
Absolutely. It's new equipment, and so that was
first time we went mobile with it. So,
yeah,
you know,
without lugging the laptop and, you know, everything
all
else
this,
around.
Yeah.
But look up what a pop filter is if you don't know what it is, because that would have solved 90% of the problems.
Yeah.
But anyway, terrific interview with John and Paul.
Paul.
Yeah, John is, you know, probably on a beach in Arizona somewhere. Paul and Cheryl. Some interesting information there that hasn't been really well noticed.
No. No, the SEE certified numbers for the Camaro. I got them, you know, 426 and 420 for the
LS3.
LS3, yep. And then 400 and 410 for the, what's the?
L99, right?
Yeah. And then 304 and 273 for the V6.
Right on.
Not bad.
Yeah. I'm kind of bummed that the automatic, the L99, it is L99, right?
I believe so.
Yeah, if I'm wrong, boy, we're going to hear about it.
Oh, I know.
Of course, you know, we do give away, goodies for people calling in. So if we are wrong.
Yeah, tell us.
You probably won't win goodies for telling us, but we'd still like to know. Speaking of voicemails, we got one we're going to hold off until next week.
Yeah.
Because this one obviously, this interview obviously took everything. Yeah. Also, you listeners might have noticed amongst the popping sounds when we'd say our P's and B's and all that. The noise every now and then you'd hear, that's the people mover in Detroit.
Oh, yeah.
It goes from the outside and passes right through the interior.
The rail system.
Yeah,
that
the
goes
monorail. We call it the mugger mover.
Yeah.
I've never been mugged in it, have you?
No.
I've never even seen a mugging happen.
No.
Of course, then again, I just look out the window and pretend like, never make eye contact in Detroit. So anyway, anything else to add, Chris, or is that kind of it?
Yeah, one more thing.
Oh, sure.
I sat up last night watching Barrett Jackson for 3 hours.
3 hours, right.
To see what the Camaro would go for.
The Camaro number one?
Camaro number one. John, I heard you on the show, but I didn't see you. But I did see everybody was wearing red hats. Didn't see what they said. I'm assuming they said Camaro.
Maybe like what they had at SEMA.
Oh, maybe.
Those red hats at the SEMA.
Yeah.
$350,000.
Yeah.
$100,000 more than what I thought it would go for.
Exactly. Good deal. They raised a lot of money for the American Heart Association with that car.
I think that's great. Yeah. I think that's absolutely great. One of the... God, who won it?
Rick Hendrick.
Yeah, Hendrick. That's right. That's what I was looking for. Cool. I can't wait to see how it's optioned out. And, you know, because he, you know, could get the one that was on the stage or I get what was the deal?
It was the very first Camaro off the assembly line optioned however you wanted it. You could have it as a V6. You could have it as an SS. You could have it any options you wanted.
Sky's the limit, huh?
Sky's the limit.
Very cool. I can't wait to see how that turns out. You know we're going to see it sooner or later.
Oh, yeah.
We have to. If we don't, we're going to have to send out a few filthy emails.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's it until next week then?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool, cool. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back with our regularly scheduled programming.
Yeah, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Camaro Z28.com podcast. If you have questions or comments for Chris and Jason, call our voicemail hotline, 586-486-3182. Or send your comments by email, webmasters@CamaroZ28.com. Once again, thank you for listening to Camaro Z28.com podcast. We'll see you next week.